I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've talked about whether injuries changed the NBA Finals. To me, I have three takeaways from the NBA Finals. One, that the Raptors will always be remembered for being a unique team in the NBA landscape, the NBA championship landscape. Two, that the Warriors did more to bolster their legacy for me in a loss than they did in any of their wins. You know, the way they went out like the champs, man. Klay and KD left it all out on the court, and everybody else fought like hell when they could have folded, and I have tons of respect for them after that. And number three, of course, injuries played a role. You know, it doesn't change the outcome, but they had a role in that outcome. In fact, they were probably the number one determining factor in the outcome of the NBA Finals. We talked about Masai Ujiri and how I just don't understand why law enforcement would escalate that situation at all. It's a bad look to put that on the record. That's the kind of situation I think can be talked out and everybody move on. We've talked about Jimmy Butler being perhaps the most important free agent, at least when it comes to next year. Not overall, but when it comes to next year, because it seems like Klay is back at Golden State. Kyrie's headed to Brooklyn. Anthony Davis likely going to be traded to the Lakers, I think. KD's not playing next year. Kawhi, Toronto, or the Clippers, doesn't seem to be that many variabilities. While Jimmy Butler could wind up back in Philly, you know, and they were right there this year. He could wind up on Brooklyn, giving them Kyrie and Butler. He could wind up in L.A., and let's say they get Anthony Davis, too. So he could change a lot. And right now, I've been asking you whether you still care about O.J. Simpson. This in light of it being the 25th year anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, which almost assuredly were committed by O.J., and because he joined Twitter and got a lot of reaction yesterday, and he just seems to be seeking approval he will never get, but always relevant. You know, there's just something about his story, his case, that has stuck, you know, for a quarter century, and even longer than that if you factor in his celebrity before then, and will definitely continue to live on. So I'm just curious if you, at this very moment, still care about O.J. Simpson, because typically that's the kind of thing that would be a thing of the past, and he still seems to be a thing of the present. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to James in South Carolina. James, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, I remember watching that with my roommates, and for the longest time, I guess, because I was an O.J. fan and a football fan, I said, man, he didn't do that. And, you know, after a while, I said, well, there's a couple things that really bother me about it. And one thing that still bothers me today is, okay, he did it. But like I told my roommates back then, he didn't do it alone. And I never have heard who helped him, and everybody else got famous around it. And I remember telling people that this is going to cause problems, because this is something that's turning into from a bad situation of people being murdered to a media circus. And then I remember seeing the cameras in the courtroom, and to me, I think that was the first time that really has been done. And I said, you know, that's going to really hinder the judicial branch and people getting a fair trial all the way through the rest of our society. And And look, you see it happen all the time now. We just had an incident here that ended the same way. And, you know, if it was you or me, you know, if it was you on trial and something like that happened, there's no way I can sit on a jury and give you an honest, you know, an honest verdict and an honest chance with everything on TV and stuff like that. And to me, I guess the biggest problem is this really hurts society when you have all these cameras in the courtrooms, because not only does it make everything public, but it brings out hatred on both sides of the fence, no matter which side you're on. And you can see it in today's world. It doesn't take too much to get one side all fired up and coming after the other one. So that was the first time that things like this really started getting out of hand. And you can just look at society now and see that it's really totally got out of hand.
Well, I agree with you that on certain things. I don't think it's there's two sides on this anymore. I don't think that's the case. I think 90%, and that's probably being conservative, of people believe that, regardless of what their background is, believe that OJ did this. I also find it curious that there's so many conspiracy theories about what actually happened. Like you even mentioned, there's somebody else helping him. I've heard that before. I don't know what necessarily makes you believe that. I mean, OJ Simpson's a big, strong guy. I mean, there's a reason he was able to do what he was able to do out on the football field. I think the trial itself, I mean, look, it was a huge deal. They cut into the NBA Finals for it. And I already stated why I think it's lasted the test of time is, one, OJ was a celebrity. He was a celebrity that appealed to a broad crowd. He sold product. He appeared in movies, and he was a football star. It was a crime drama. People love crime dramas and court shows and all that stuff. Those do well regardless. And then there was the racial tension aspect of it. And I think at that time, and not now, but at that time, because of Rodney King, because of police brutality and all that, because a lot of black people felt like they were railroaded by the system, there was a celebration from a subset of the black community that felt like, oh, look, here's a win when we typically lose. Now, ultimately, it was the wrong subject to celebrate, and I think that's understood now. But it wasn't about O.J. Simpson. It was about the broader issues that are still apparent nowadays, right? Like, that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. It's something we're still dealing with. But in the current time frame, fast forward to today, I don't think there's any controversy around OJ. I think there's curiosity around OJ. I don't think there's... I mean, you get a few yahoos here and there, but for the most part, people know what they think about OJ. What I find interesting about it is that he is still seeking that approval, that he's still out there going, oh yeah, I want people to care about me. I want people to recognize me or see me, when one would believe, first of all, when he got away with what he got away with, that you would just disappear. Then when you actually got punished for something unrelated because you were too arrogant to disappear, you would disappear with a third chance. But yet there he is, still seeking that limelight. And look, I'll confess, like I said, I followed him on Twitter, so... maybe he's getting some of what he wants. Maybe it's working for him. But I do. That's what I find interesting about it now. I'm not reliving the trial. I don't care about the trial anymore. I understand what it represented. I've seen the documentaries. But I think psychologically, it's curious to me. Why would someone still need approval? Still yearn for attention, given who O.J. Simpson is and what I think most people feel about O.J. Simpson, because I don't really think there's a O.J. Simpson debate anymore. I think that is something from a different era. I don't think you see that whatsoever. But there he is. There he was, at least last night on Twitter. And I still see, I'm seeing memes and people post the videos now. He's more of a joke than anything now. But he doesn't realize he's a joke. And that's what I find kind of fascinating. how he cannot realize that people almost universally believe he's guilty of a double murder and think he's a joke. And yet there he is, believing that maybe people want to actually hear from O.J. Simpson and not want to see O.J. Simpson in the way that you want to see a train wreck or you know, you look over to the side of the road to see the accident. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if anything comes of it. I just found it interesting, and I was curious whether you guys were still interested in O.J. Simpson. 855-212-4227. We'll turn our attention back to the NBA because that is the story at the moment, both from the Toronto Raptors now being the NBA champs. Do you think injuries change the way you view that championship and that series? 855-212-4227. Plus, now we're turning the chapter toward free agency in the future of the NBA. And it really feels like a genuine reset for the league, right? It feels like this was the closing of a book, the closing of a chapter, and we're about to open another one. And in a lot of ways, it's super exciting. It's exciting because I don't think anybody has a good handle on what's going to happen next year. And that's not something you could have said about the NBA in maybe 10 years. So that's part of what's intriguing about this summer. And I think we'll up the hype for next year, not to mention, you know, LeBron will be back in action. Zion will be making his NBA debut, and you're going to have a lot of stars maybe on new teams. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Talked a bunch of NBA. Going to talk it now with Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. And Steve, first, I'll ask you the question I asked the audience earlier in the show, and I have three takeaways from the NBA Finals. One, the Toronto Raptors are one of those teams that we'll always remember because they're unique in the NBA championship landscape. Number two, the Golden State Warriors did a lot to bolster their run in that loss to me, the way they went out. Obviously, KD and Klay put it all out there on the court. The rest of the guys fought like hell. I was very impressed the way they went down. And number three, obviously injuries played a factor in the series. I'm not saying there's asterisks or anything ridiculous like that. But, you know, to me it was clear that the Warriors would have won if Kevin Durant was healthy. With the Splash Brothers out there against the Raptors, it was almost dead even. And then when you remove Klay, the Raptors were too good for them. What do you think of those takeaways?
Well, one, I you know, getting to an NBA championship is such a combination of factors, right? You've got to have an organization that is completely aligned. You can't have agendas. It's why Houston Rockets just can't get it done. Too much internal stuff that doesn't have anything to do with winning. So you've got to be aligned. You've got to have great players. You know, your first three will get you there, but it's the next three that win you. It's the Fred VanVleet. You know, it's the, you know, Serge Ibaka's, the Marcus Gasol's. Those are the ones that actually win you championships. And then the next part, you have to be healthy. You know, it's almost impossible to win if you don't have your guys, and your second-tier guys are just never going to be ready. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to line up to win a championship, and I think they all did for Toronto because, honestly, you know, maybe 2 months into the season, I'm like, okay, Toronto's going to be the fourth seed, you know, let alone win the whole thing. It just seemed like a moonshot, but it's about getting right at the same time. It's about superstars playing like superstars. You know, Kyle Lowry was incredible in the closeout game, you know, and that has not been his DNA as a playoff basketball player. So I think a lot of things factored in there, no question. Injuries were a big thing, but I also think fatigue. You know, Steve Kerr talked about this a lot, that, you know, having been part of three-peats, you know, the second one is exhausting. The third one is a mountain that very few teams have been able to climb, and you've got to be really special, really resilient, and really healthy, especially when you consider three straight, and in the Warriors' case, five straight trips to the finals. Just look at the number of playoff minutes Steph Curry has logged. That's more than a season for most other guys. It's a season and a half in some cases. So that's a lot more wear on an NBA player's body.
Yeah, I mean, it just breaks you down a little bit. I mean, I think it's a good argument for shortening the season when you see what happened to the Warriors and you saw how effective Kawhi Leonard was after quote-unquote load management. Do you think we're ever going to see that from the league itself?
You know, the one thing I like about Adam Silver is that he refuses to just say, well, that's the way we've always done it. He wants to see the data. He wants to understand what the change could mean. He's open to it. I think we've seen it with the All-Star game and some of the other things, a willingness to experiment a little bit and try on new things. The two things I think that are interesting in all of this is, one, who's going to give up the money? You know, a home game or road game, you know, whatever. If you're removing 20 games from the schedule, where are you getting the money to replace it? Because the players are not giving it up, and neither are the owners. There's just a market level to which you can charge for tickets. And, you know, you work in the media business. I work in the media business. You know, the gravy train of TV rights deals is going to dry up pretty quickly. So where's the money come from? You know, this idea of a mid-season tournament that, you know, could be a replacement for the All-Star game, I'm interested in. That could replace the money and then allow for, you know, less games. Look, I cover this business, you know, 82 games. It's hard for me to get through it. I don't have to get on the court, you know, for players to be in their very best. And I think we've seen this too, is that, you know, throughout the 82 game season, you're going to have 10 games where dudes either don't play or aren't ready to play. And what kind of product is that? So, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to look at it. I think in Adam Silver's view, he's always open to the idea, but you got to solve more problems than just we want our guys to be a little more fresh for the postseason. You've got to replace the revenue. How does that work in the schedule? Because things are pretty good in the NBA right now.
Robin Lundberg talking to Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders here on CBS Sports Radio right now. Let's discuss some of the free agency or player movement deals that could go down. I want to talk about three in particular. Number one, Anthony Davis. Do you think it's a matter of when, not a matter of if, he winds up on the Los Angeles Lakers?
It seems likely that it's going to be the Lakers, especially with the idea that Kyrie Irving may not be back for the Boston Celtics. I don't see how it makes any sense for Danny Ainge to give up everything they have in the cookie jar and then watch Anthony Davis walk away in a year and you have nothing, no young guys, no promising draft picks. Maybe Anthony stays, maybe he doesn't, but you put yourself paint yourself into a corner. You probably don't survive. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for Boston. The Lakers are where Anthony wants to be. It seems like they're trying to get a deal done. They're pushing all the chips to the table. So I think it is a formality at this point. They'll probably get done on Tuesday or Wednesday, enough time to get the Pelicans a chance to figure out what to do with other draft picks that may be included in the deal.
Yeah, I mean, and to the Anthony Davis-Boston point, there's been Paul George, there's been Kawhi Leonard, but in neither of those cases did their agent go on the record saying that he would leave after a year. Kyrie
and his dad. I mean, the only person who hasn't come out and said, I don't want anything to do with Boston is Anthony Davis, and I think he probably should do that, and that'll just put an end to all of it. But, you know, this is how it goes. Unfortunately, in this situation, Anthony has all the power. It's a risk for anybody other than, say, the Knicks or the Lakers, just simply because of how far out front his camp has been and what he will and won't do.
You mentioned Kyrie. I don't know if going in we've seen a superstar seem this sure to be anywhere. Now, maybe we should have known with LeBron in L.A., but, you know, LeBron creates extra hysteria. Do you think Kyrie's the kind of dude who just didn't want to be mentioned in all this stuff? You know, he sort of marches to the beat of his own drum. Do you think he sort of just decided early, hey, I'm going to commit without committing to Brooklyn so I don't have to be a part of that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. Is, you know, I genuinely think Kyrie at the beginning of the season thought the Boston Celtics were where he was going to be. You know, I don't think that was disingenuous when he told season ticket holders he'd resign. I think he had a terrible run in Boston where everything went wrong. The young guys didn't relate to him. He was struggling. He was miserable. Didn't necessarily connect to the front office. Didn't connect with Brad Stevens. Saw himself get sullied in every way possible in the media. You know, these were just really negative things. And it's like, do I want to sign up for more of that? And I think the answer to that is no. And then the next part is, well, if I'm not going to be here, where do I want to be? He wants to be close to home. And I don't think anybody's really signing up for the Knicks. So with the Brooklyn Nets being there and seeing how good that team is and Kenny Atkinson as a coach and how well-run it's been under Sean Marks, it's the dream scenario for any player especially if you want to try to be close to home. So to me, I think that is what it's about, is about, I gave this Boston thing a try and was unhappy. I'm going to go be home.
And finally, Jimmy Butler, I think he may actually be the free agent that has the most impact on next season, simply because we know that Kevin Durant is not going to play, unfortunately. Kawhi, it seems like, would stay in Toronto or go to L.A. And in Toronto, things remain the same. If he goes to L.A., maybe he could create a West Coast version of a kind of Toronto formula, but I still think they may be a few pieces away. With Jimmy, there are many franchises that could be altered in the short term. You know, Philadelphia, obviously, who were a few bounces away from maybe being where Toronto is. There is the Lakers, if he decides to go there, and Anthony Davis is there. And then, yeah, the Nets as well, if he decides to pair up with Kyrie. Do you think he could sneakily be the free agent that has the most impact on next season?
I think he's probably the most obtainable game changer, like you're saying. You know, if the Philadelphia 76ers don't come with a full five-year max offer, I think Jimmy's going to go shopping. And I think the appeal of the L.A. market is interesting to Jimmy. It's where he spends most of his time in the offseason. And I think he's one of the few free agents that could plug in next to, say, a LeBron and still thrive. You know, Jimmy is kind of his own guy. He doesn't get frustrated with, you know, other marquee players. So, you know, how does Kyrie fit back in with LeBron? I don't think that makes sense. How does Kemba Walker, you know, I don't know that makes sense. Jimmy fits with the Lakers. Now, there are a couple of dark horses in this. You know, it's been reported recently, the Miami Heat. Jimmy has had an affection for Pat Riley and the Miami Heat organization for a while. That would require some very creative cap work or a sign and trade. So it's not easy, you know, but Jimmy walking to Brooklyn, Jimmy walking to the LA Lakers, especially if the Philadelphia 76ers don't step up, that becomes very realistic. I think he's the one that probably does the dance and really considers other options way more than some of the other guys we're talking at the top.
Steve, appreciate your time this morning, man. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. Be well.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Let me have your attention, please. 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on everything I have not as of yet, or everything I have, I guess, more aptly, which is the NBA Finals, NBA Free Agency, and O.J. Simpson, of all people. But right now, it's time for me to get to everything I have not in another one. Anthony, what's up first, man?
The Women's World Cup is underway. USA versus Chile tomorrow afternoon, if anyone is interested. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team was criticized for celebrating during its 13-0 World Cup win in its opening match. Did Team USA show a lack of class against Thailand?
You know, it's funny. I feel like there's this like knee-jerk reaction where there has to be like some controversy or drummed-up story or whatever. Like when Durant went down, everyone had to blame the Warriors or do something. And I thought to myself, well, let's give Kevin Durant some damn respect instead of blaming the Warriors or finding somebody to blame. And in this case with the U.S. women's team, I feel like maybe there was a reaction to be had that turned into an overreaction. I don't have a problem with them continuing to score goals. You're in the World Cup. You know, and I personally don't have a problem with the celebrating either. I found it pretty humorous when I went back and watched it. But I can understand people going, all right, it's 12-13-0. Dial it back a bit. Or else that becomes the story rather than your dominance. And that's what happened. It sort of became the story rather than their dominance. But you're not going to catch me like losing my mind about it. You know, I think the closest parallel we have, because there was a lot of, you know, would it have been the same if it were the men? First of all, the U.S. men's team, the U.S. men's soccer team would not have done that. They're not good enough to score that many goals. There's no way they'd score that many goals, so we wouldn't have to worry about them celebrating. It wouldn't happen. They'd be the ones getting 13 goals scored against them, and we'd be going, hey, stop rubbing it in our faces. Stop, you know, don't beat the U.S. men 14-0 and then dance. I think the closest parallel is actually the men's basketball team, right? Because we've seen them just totally destroy opponents in the past and win by 50, 60 points. And I'm trying to think, would I have a problem with them swagging out dunks in that case? Probably not. Maybe I wouldn't want them to run a full court press went up 55 points in one of those games. And that could be the one issue I think you could have strategically with the U.S. women is they ran a four attacking lineup after being up 7-0. But ultimately, this is not something anyone's ever going to remember. And I think it was mostly the creation of a media cycle rather than, you know, there being like these genuine extreme reactions. I think it's fine to have been like, all right, calm down, dial it back a bit without having to go over the top and calling it disgraceful and disparaging their character as a result.
So the Oakland Raiders will be appearing on HBO's Hard Knocks. Are you pumped to watch the Raiders, and are they the most intriguing team entering the 2019 season?
I am not pumped to watch the Raiders. I have seen enough of Antonio Brown this offseason. You know, I don't need to see more of Antonio Brown. I saw plenty of him. You know, I'm not really interested in seeing more of Antonio Brown. I've seen enough of John Gruden, you know, in the past. He was on the TV every week, you know. And you know, he's in the press conference. He's a good soundbite. But I'm not really interested. Now, maybe that's Hard Knocks has never really been my thing per se. But you know what? I would have been kind of interested in the Giants. You know, like, what's Eli Manning doing right now? Daniel Jones, after all the reaction to his draft, Gettleman, does he make an appearance on camera? You know, he likes to chew scenery up. You know, something like that might have been a little bit more subtle and interesting while the Raiders is right on the nose. Now, I realize I'm in the minority here. I think most people would have picked the Raiders. I think most people are interested in the Raiders. But me personally, I feel like I've seen that. Like, I know what Antonio Brown did and what makes him tick. I know how John Gruden delivers his lines. I don't really need to see more of that.
Maybe the Browns?
But they weren't eligible, were they? I mean, I think the Browns, you know what, are we getting to the Baker Mayfield topic here?
No, but if you want to, I didn't have that lined up at all.
Why don't I go into the Baker Mayfield thing right here since you mentioned the Browns? Because, you know, when we talk about the media, the Browns are now one of those teams. I don't think they were eligible for Hard Knocks this year. They're now one of those teams where every little thing is going to become a thing because we've decided that there are darling this year. There are a team to watch, and they have big personalities with Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. And there was a little brushback from teammates apparently towards Baker Mayfield because he took some shots at Duke Johnson, who wasn't happy with his situation, and Baker Mayfield really put him on blast. And I think some of the other Browns teammates were saying, relax a little bit, and it got squashed from all reports. But I think it's noteworthy. One, because it shows just how much attention is going to be paid to the Cleveland Browns. Like, where anything that is a thing could become a bigger thing. Odell Beckham at OTAs. Who cares? Like, nobody actually cares about OTAs. No one cares. You could never in a million years tell me who didn't show up for OTAs last year or the year before that or the year before that. No one actually cares. That's totally a thing we do to try and drum up controversy. But Odell Beckham not showing up was a thing when it wasn't for anybody else. Baker Mayfield, every little comment he makes could be a thing. And I will say this for Baker. I'm a fan of Baker Mayfield as a player. I think he's really good. I think he's got a ton of potential. I think he could finally be the quarterback to solve what the Browns have needed, but he does get a little big for his britches sometimes. I mean, just because I respect the fact that he doesn't bite his tongue. I like that, but we also don't need you, Baker, to you know, call it straight on every sort of topic. You don't need to necessarily weigh in on every sort of topic. He hasn't accomplished anything as of yet, so I do think he gets a little big for his britches sometimes.
And yeah, the five teams that are eligible appear on Hard Knocks: the Lions, Raiders, Giants, 49ers, and Redskins. Those were the five teams.
I would have gone with the Giants and then the 49ers, I think.
So
the 49ers would be interesting with Garoppolo trying to come back, and then the Nick Bosa thing in the locker room kind of, you know,
would be interesting. Tony Parker announced his retirement after 18 seasons. How will you remember Parker, and what is his legacy?
His legacy. I think in tandem with Manu Ginobili, now Dirk Nowitzki is the guy who did it individually the most, but I think they opened up the door more and more for the international game, for both the international teams to be taken seriously and for the international prospects to be taken seriously. So I think that's a big part of it. When you're talking about Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili specifically, and Manu and Tony did it together on the Spurs. As far as his legacy as a player, it's tough because he's good enough to be a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't quite game-changing enough to be like, I'm not putting him on any of my lists as like the top 10 best ever kind of deal. You know, so he's a great player who probably will be remembered appropriately so, but maybe has more influence on, you know, the international game being opened up than being in any conversations when you're talking about the best point guard you ever saw.
So Brooks Koepka, it's the U.S. Open this weekend. Brooks Koepka not happy that he was left out of a U.S. Open promo. It was one of four, by the way. He was in the other three. His thoughts on that, Koepka said, I was just kind of shocked. Somebody probably should have gotten fired over it, or probably got fired over it, or should. So what do you make of Koepka's reaction to being left out of one of the four U.S. Open promos?
You know, this is the most interesting I've ever found, Brooks Koepka, so I hope they leave him out of other stuff. I don't know if I've ever noticed his quotes or had that register. So let's make that his thing. You know, Brooks Koepka always slept on, despite being maybe the best golfer there is. You know, that could be his deal. Nobody respects me because I'm not even in the promos, and who's better than I am? That would make him a little bit more interesting if he went scorched earth. It's golf, right? It's kind of where golf is. It's a reason why Tiger Woods, whatever you think of Tiger Woods, clearly, whenever Tiger Woods is involved, the interest goes way up. And I don't think there's another golfer like that. And we've seen Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and all these other guys, but they don't really register. So that's the slight, is that it's easy to overlook Brooks Koepka from an imaging and branding and personality standpoint. But he is correct when you're talking about who the best players are. If you're judging who you're promoting as the best players in your game, then he should be there.
The Nets will reportedly not keep D'Angelo Russell if they sign Kyrie Irving. So in your opinion, are the Nets better off continuing to build off of what they accomplished last year, continue on with Russell, or would they be better off signing Kyrie and saying goodbye to D'Angelo?
This is tough because D'Angelo sort of represents the culture they've created there and has potential to get better. But Kyrie is also, you know, one of the purest talents we've seen at his position. This is when I say two things all the time. You're rooting for a team, or what's most important, having a transcendent star, one, and two, having faith in the management and the people that run the team. You know, that's why Masai Ujiri gets a ton of credit for what happened to the Raptors. And I think at this point, considering they took the Brooklyn Nets from nowhere to somewhere without any resources, I think the Brooklyn Nets front office and Sean Marks gets that benefit of the doubt. So I think if you're a Nets fan or you're even a casual observer, you can sit back and understand that they're not going to do anything hasty. And I believe if they decide to let Russell go, it's probably not going to be for nothing. They seem to be too smart for that. So I figured they'd wind up creatively getting something in return for him, or they try to be creative and pair him with Kyrie. So I wouldn't rush to any conclusions on how they handle that situation yet. The only conclusion I'm willing to reach is that it's almost certain that Kyrie Irving is heading to Brooklyn.
All right, Robin, it's the arrival of summer, which means the coming of summer blockbuster season. What's your favorite summer blockbuster film of all time?
Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame? I mean, that was too easy. Do I have to go to a different one? Non-Marvel category?
Non-Marvel.
Yeah, non-Marvel. Jurassic Park? Was Jurassic Park
yes,
one?
Yes, that was.
That was one that I remember like capturing my imagination as a kid. It's not one that I like. It's not a movie that I rewatch all the time now, to be honest with you. But as far as just like, wow, that was an experience when I was a kid, you have to give a hat tip to Jurassic Park. And Jaws has stood the test of time in that regard as well. Am I missing?
I was going to say, well, now wait, you mentioned the Avengers, but Endgame came out in April, and Infinity War was in May, right? Last year.
That doesn't count as summer.
No, I would say no. No. Well,
what are some other summer blockbusters? I mean, gave you a couple.
Well, Wonder Woman that I thought of because this the first Men in Black,
mm-hmm.
1997. That came out in July of 97. And of course, you got the new Men in Black out now.
Independence Day, Armageddon.
Any of the Will Smith movies.
Yeah.
They were all these summer blockbusters. Well, another one, Ghostbusters. This is the 35th anniversary, June of 1984. Ghostbusters, the original. And Gremlins, that came out on the same day.
The sequel to Gremlins?
No, the first one.
Oh, the sequel to Gremlins is really good.
What about Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze and Jessica Biel?
Oh, jeez.
Jessica Biel, she didn't need to be talked about this week, I don't think.
June 8th, 1984, you Ghostbusters and Gremlins on the same day.
I'll go with Jurassic Park and Jaws. Not because they're my personal favorites necessarily, but I feel like they have the most lasting impact. Like they come to my mind, right? I think of summer blockbuster, I think of them, and I think of going beyond your window, because a lot of summer blockbusters are like Transformers popcorn movies. And those ones seem to have stuck a little bit more. So I'll go to them if we're in the non-Marvel category, because I'm sure there's another Marvel movie I could find that would tickle my fancy in particular, but doesn't necessarily register on the scale of those other ones. It has been the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I will be back the same time and the same place next week for all of your listening enjoyment. You can catch the podcast, cbssportsradio.com. Go to the audio page and look for my face. Ken Carmen coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.